book at home. We've got some extras, I think, in the bookstore. And you ought to have one, because every once in a while, you just need to open up a hymn book and read it. It'll speak to your heart. It'll take you back to a time where maybe God was speaking to your heart or challenging you. There's different hymns that'll help bring some remembrance and some thoughts of things that are maybe were going on in your life, maybe some encouragement. I encourage you, consider that. And I read a meme recently on Facebook. It says, we owe it to the next generation to keep singing hymns, because there's a lot of truth in that. There really is. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to go way deep in the book, all the way to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse number 1. Genesis 1, verse number 1, we have a Creator God. We have a Creator God. Henry Morse stated in the New Defender Study Bible, he said this opening verse of the Bible is unique. The foundation of foundations. Probably the first words ever written down, either revealed to Adam or written directly by God Himself. One who really believes Genesis 1:1 will have no trouble, no difficulty believing the rest of Scripture. Genesis 1:1, let's read it. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God is external. God is existing. God is eternal, existing before the universe. God is omnipotent, having created the universe. Therefore, nothing is impossible with God. Get this today. Nothing is impossible with God. He alone gives meaning to everything. We serve a Creator God. No other piece of written literature is taught or spoken against as vehemently as these first two chapters of the book of Genesis are. There's no two pieces of literature found in all of creation that is as hated by Satan and his forces as these verses right here are. They know that if they can take away this foundation, everything else falls apart. Verse number 1 tells us what God did. The following 55 verses, chapter 1 and 2, tells us how He did it. So let's just look at three things in these verses today. Number 1, you guys have your notes, hopefully. Number 1, I want you to see in verse number 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Word of God here defines or declares His existence. You know, if I were to pick up a book, I have a little book right here. I have a book here called The Trail of Blood, and it just simply has the author's name, J.M. Carroll. And probably if I looked in here, it might tell us a little bit about the author, but the book wouldn't waste any time trying to make you believe that the author actually existed. The Bible's like that. It just declares God is the author. God exists. It doesn't go into a lot of detail about how or why or any of that. It just simply says God is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Notice that whenever He started that, it says in the beginning God was already there. God is before time and He's after time. God simply declares that He exists, and He wastes no time trying to prove that He exists. God is the supreme creator. He is transcendent above all creation. This means that He is the supreme creator. He is distinct from creation. God is not part of creation. Several of the world-type religions today try to make a God or our God a part of creation. Creation is not a part of God. God is supreme over and above all of creation. God would exist whether the earth exist or not. God would exist whether you and I exist or not. He is God. The Bible simply declares that God is. Notice this. In the beginning, God created. If you underline or box things or circle words in your Bible, I want you to circle the word created right there. Underline it or something. The Hebrew word that is used there is four letters. B-A-R-A. It is bara. The word bara, I have this in my notes, had to look this up. It means to create. Only used of God creating. Never of humans making things. The verb is used only of the creative acts performed by God. You know what the word means? To create literally means to create out of nothing. Nothing. You know, we say man created that. It had to start with something. You heard the old story about a scientist that was arguing with God about creation and all of that. And the scientist said, well, you know, I can make a house or I can make a brick or I can make a whatever. And God said, get your own dirt. You can't start with what I've already given you. You've got to start with nothing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This tells us that God used no pre-existing material to create the earth. Nothing. He just created it out of nothing. You say, how could that be? He is God. We've got to get a hold of this. God is bigger than our understanding. You say, why is that a big deal? Because our sins are bigger than our understanding. Amen. Salvation is bigger than our understanding. I need something. I need someone that is bigger than me in order to save my soul for all eternity. I need someone that I may not be able to completely understand that I can come to and say, God, I don't know what to do. And God says, that's fine. I know. God declares His existence. Every man knows deep down in his inner being that there is a God. Every man. The Bible declares that in Romans. Religion is man's attempt to define God. Christianity is God reaching out to man. He is the God of eternity past. He is the God of eternity past. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The psalmist says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. He created the world. By the way, not in millions of years or billions of years or thousands of years, but in six literal 24-hour time period days, God created the heavens and the earth. If you try to make anything out other than that, what you do is you interject man's ideas into this. And my friend, anytime you interject man's ideas into God, we end up with failure and frustration and trouble. It is so much better, it is so much easier for us to simply take the Word of God at its word. Notice again, verse number 1, it says, in the beginning. This is the foundation, this is the foundational truth of all theology. This is where we've got to start at. God is the great originator and God is the great initiator. The Bible says, and Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Thy hands. The book of Genesis begins with God. That's the right way to begin anything. In fact, if we do not begin with God, we make things a mess in a hurry. And all God's people said, our families need to begin with God. Our churches need to begin with God. Our days need to begin with God. Our marriages need to begin with God. Our travels need to begin with God. Our careers need to begin with God. Yea, our entire lives need to begin with God. Because anytime we do not begin with God, we'll find ourselves eventually having to go back to there and starting all over. And it's a whole lot better to go ahead and start right rather than have the correct thing. That's one of the
the great joys about seeing young people trust Christ early on in their lives.
You don't have to correct a whole lot of mistakes and bad errors. They don't have to look back and have a whole lot of regrets like many of us have that lived a little bit of life before we got saved. Oh, for God to reach into their hearts and lives and save them when they're young. You know why? Because then they can begin with God. God declares His existence. He is the God not only of eternity past, but He is the God of earth's present state. Many in our present generation want to believe that God created the earth and He took His hands off of it, kind of let it go. I have a friend of mine that really believes that. He believes that, well, he says, I have no problem. I believe that God created the earth. I believe all of that. He says, but I just don't believe that God is managing things now. I believe that He's just kind of letting things happen. Hey, can I tell you something? Sometimes it'll feel like that. You look around and you really like, really, God? Really? You did that? You're still in control of that? Even though sometimes we may feel like that God's just letting things happen, the truth of the matter is He's still God in our present lives. Here's what the Bible says. Colossians 1 says this, for by Him were all things created. Amen, that's what it says here. And that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And here it is, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You look at our universe. How many of you grew up in a time when Pluto was a planet? Remember that? Poor old Pluto now, kind of written off, not a planet anymore. Can you imagine? I'd be discouraged if I was a planet for 100 years or 200 years or 500 years, and all somebody said, you're not a planet anymore. Really? I want to be a planet. Poor old Pluto, just kind of out there. They say, well, it's not a planet because of the way that it does whatever. And I'm like, really? Have you ever looked at creation? Have you ever looked at a model of our solar system? By the way, the Creation Museum has a great one. You go over to the Creation Museum, and you get into the 3D room where it projects it all up on the ceiling, and you lay back in one of those nice, cool chairs. You got to be careful because after a long, hot day, it's easy to fall asleep in it. But you lay back, and they begin to show you all the Earth's orbits and all of the planets and how the moon works and the sun and all of that. And it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. And you begin to realize how small Earth is compared to all of the rest of the universe. And you begin to get a picture of the vastness of God. But then in the midst of all that, the narrator says this. All of the planets, all of the stars, all of those rocks that are floating through space are all held in place by God. All of it is. All through God's sustaining power is this world's space held together. You say, preacher, what's the big deal with that? How many have ever felt like your life was flying out of control sometimes? Can I tell you something? God will hold that thing together. He's still in charge. Even whenever it looks like everything is a disaster, everything is falling apart, God is God of the earth's present state, and that means my life and your life. Jesus told His disciples, after He had declared that He is God, He said, gentlemen, He said, peace I leave. He said, peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not it be afraid. And then He said, if you'll keep my words, He said, if any man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he'll come to him, and we will make our abode with him. God is holding your life and my life together. You say, how do you know that? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By the way, He'll also be God of the future. There's nothing in the future that hasn't already happened in the mind of God. He's the God of the future. The Bible says, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The truth is, God is a God of eternity past. He's a God of the present state of this world. He's the God of the eternity coming up in the future. Get a hold of this. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You come to grips with that verse, everything else falls into place. Number two thought today. You're reading these passages. God not only declares His existence, but He demonstrates His power. He demonstrates His power. I'm not going to read verses 2 through 31. And all God's people said, phew. All right? But when you get a chance, you read those verses. Remember, verse number 1 is a summarizing verse. And the other verses describe how God does it. And you see some things in these verses. God demonstrates His power through His Word. Can I say this today? This book is different than this book. This book right here is a living word. This book right here contains some living words because it contains Bible verses in it. But this book right here is alive. You say, how do you know that? Because there have been times in my life that I thought nobody cared, nobody understood. And I opened up this book, and through the pages of over 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit of God took something out of this book and spoke to my heart. And I yielded my life back to God in an amazing way because this book is alive. And this book makes me alive again. This book right here, whenever you read it, it'll demonstrate God's power in your life. We see at least 8 times in this first chapter, God spoke and something happened. Look at it in verse number 3. The Bible says, and God, what's the word? Ready? And God what? Said. Look at it in verse number 6. Ready? Verse number 6. And God, what's the? God said, right? He spoke it and something happened. God said in verse number 3, and it was light. God said in verse number 6, and there was heaven. God said in verse number 9, and there was the earth and the oceans. God said in verse number 11, and there was the grass and the trees. God said in verse number 14, and there was the sun and the moon. Isn't it amazing that the grass and the trees came before the sun and the moon? How did they survive? God, there you go. And God said in verse number 20, and the sea animals and the birds came. And verse number 24, and there were land animals. And in verse number 26, and man came. We see in this first chapter of Genesis, God speaking, and everything in the universe has come into existence with nothing but the power of His Word. You've got a problem in your life. You've got an issue going on in your life. You fall back on the Word of God, and you see how God's power works through it. Here's a thought. Because all creation is formed by His Word, then all creation is subject to His Word. The same Word of God has the ability to and the power to create new life out of a dead life. And I'm testimony of that. And so are each one of you that are alive today. I put a question in my notes because as I was reading through and making all this up, I wrote this, and here's the question. Do you need to hear His powerful word today? That was really to me, but I left it in. Do you really need to hear His powerful word today? We can get all kinds of things from the world, but only God's word has the power to change the soul and to comfort as only God can. God demonstrated His power not only through His Word, but then one of the first attributes that
is demonstrated about God is found in chapter number 1. His goodness. Have you guys ever asked this question or had somebody ask this question of you? If God is so good, then why? And you just go ahead and fill in the blank, whatever it is. We see in these verses, look at it with me in verse number 10. Verse number 10. The Word of God says, "And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together the waters, called he seas." Notice this. "And God saw that it was," what's the word? Good. Look at verse number 12. "And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was," what's the word? Good. And you go right on down through all of that, and go with me to verse number, verse number 31. Verse number 31. Chapter 1, verse number 31. It says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was," what are the next two words? It was what? Very good. Very good. This is not some standard of goodness that is outside of or apart from God. This is the goodness that literally emanates from God himself. Creation is a reflection of the goodness that is found in God. The psalmist says this, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him," says Jeremiah in the book of the Lamentations. All of the order and the beauty of creation reflects the glory of God, and it demonstrates the goodness of God. "Thou art good," the Bible says, "and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." When we see the wonderful things in creation, we can't help but be pointing to God. I was coming down the road this morning, came around past Wade and Teresa's house down through there, and got ready to dip down right before I came up the hill, and a deer came running across the road. And I stopped, and she stopped. I'm like, "Move." But I'm sitting there looking at her, and she was looking at me, and I'm thinking, what a beautiful animal. How wonderful it is that God takes care of it. We have a couple of bird feeders out, and we put some seed back there, and I watch those little sparrows and all come by. And I'm amazed, and I think, God's so good to them. And then I began thinking, God sure is good to me. We are the recipients of this awesome goodness of God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The psalmist writes in probably one of the most famous psalms, he says, "Surely," you guys know the next word, really? "Surely," blank, "and mercy." Surely what? Goodness. Amen. "Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So God declares his existence in the beginning, God. God demonstrates his power. God said. But then also, number three, God defines man's limitations here. He defines man's limitation. Man doesn't like to be limited. Whether we like it or not, we're limited. The length of life is limited. There are three areas that are in these chapters that God places a limitation on. I wanted to get to here, but I wanted to first demonstrate God's power. And I also wanted to show you that God declares his existence. Because God is God, and because God has power, remember, he created it so he can limit it. If he spoke it into existence by his word, then it's got to be responsible to his word. These three areas are of great confusion in our world today.
You do a Google search about gender, and I don't even know how many come up. Last time I did it, 71 was the number. Well, there are two genders, and all the rest are a mental illness of some sort. At the very least, a mental instability. Have you ever seen that man that's dressing up like a woman that's part of our government? He makes the ugliest woman that I've ever seen. For the life of me, he ought to go back to being a man. But he is mentally unstable. It is mentally unstable for a man to dress up like a woman. Amen. It really is. It's mentally unstable. It's sin, by the way. It's sexual perversion, sexual deviancy. It's all of those. It's not normal. Now, our world today is like, they're having a heart attack over that. It's not. You say, well, how do you know? Well, God defines it. There again, we've got to go back to the one that created it in order to get the right definition. By the way, if you do a Google search for marriage, you'll come up with man-man, woman-woman, man-child if you're a Muslim. By the way, the Islam religion is one of the greatest predatory religions out there. They'll teach that a man can't look on a woman and lust after her, but that same man can have a sexual relationship with a 12-year-old boy. Muhammad himself married an 8-year-old girl, and my friend, if that's not perversion, I don't know what is. That's all free, by the way. Okay. Verse 27 of chapter 1. Remember, in the beginning, God created, right? Verse number 27. So God created man in his own image. By the way, everything else in creation was created after its own kind. It reproduces after its own kind. Man is created in God's image. God created man in his own image. Notice this. In the image of God created he him. Get the rest of it. You ready? This is going to be eye-opening for our world today. Male and female created he them. Isn't it interesting that whenever they find bones of people that lived in time past, they only find male or female? Amen. Just. Letter A, God defines a person's gender. If an 18-year-old can't buy an AR-15, can't buy a pack of cigarettes, can't buy beer, then a 12-year-old has no business determining their gender. Amen. And no kindergarten teacher has any right to tell your child that they're a different gender than they biologically are. Especially without your knowledge. Male and female created he, them, the Bible says. It says it multiple places. Jesus said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? There's no other options. There's not an in-between. When I first started this, I laughed. I thought, who would believe? But I'm telling you, this stuff is real. I'm pretty sure we had a boy that was dressed up like a girl at Cracker Barrel. Of course, Cracker Barrel's gone downhill. They started serving alcohol. It's like, really? You know, most places serve alcohol have to because their food's not that good. They kind of help. But Cracker Barrel, really? The crowd that they catered to for the longest time were people that enjoyed just the family place. And then all of a sudden they've got to serve alcohol. It's like, really? But I'm pretty sure they had a transgender boy that was there dressed up like a girl, long eyelashes and all. Part of that happens in the home, by the way. The parents of that boy that shot up the 4th of July parade up there, they said, oh, we didn't see anything wrong there. How many of you saw his picture? When you saw his picture, how many of you thought, what a weirdo? Amen?
As soon as I saw the tattoos on his face, I thought, there's something wrong with him. What a weirdo. And his parents are like, oh, let's buy him a gun. What? He was living in a little shed in their backyard. He hadn't had a job in 3 years. What's wrong with that? Okay. God defines a person's gender. Right here. Oh, let's read on. It says in verse number 28, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God begins to lay this out. Look at it in chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse number 24. Chapter 2, verse number 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. God not only defines gender, God defines marriage. Clarence Sexton said this, marriage math, one man, one woman, one. 1 + 1 = 1. Pete Buttigieg, the only reason why he's in the position that he is because he kisses a man on television. You can tell by the transportation, all the issues we got going on across our nation, that that man is severely limited intellectually. But it's a perverted world when two men can adopt a baby. Many want to believe that the two-parent lifestyle was created in the 1950s by Ozzie and Harriet. Two-parent household was created by God in the Garden of Eden. Now, throughout the Old Testament, you had polygamy, you had mistresses, you had all that. But all that was a perversion of it. God never put a stamp of approval on any of that. It's always been one man, one woman. Let me step back. I read this recently and I've thought about it a lot. Here's a truth. Just because a man is attracted to another man doesn't mean that God made him a homosexual. Just because a man has anger issues doesn't mean that God made him a murderer. You don't have to give in to sin. And all God's people said. Right? Homosexuality is a sin. And yes, certain people are attracted to people of the same gender. I get that. I understand that. Just like a man is attracted to women outside of his wife. But you don't have to give in to that. Amen? It's still sin. You say, well, I'm a man that has anger problems. God created me with anger, so I can go around killing all the people I want to. No, you can't. I've got to learn to yield that and bring that underneath God's control. Because this last thing that God defines is the most important. Back to verse number 1 of chapter number 1. We have a phrase. In the beginning. If there is a beginning, you ready for this? This is a great theological insight here. If there's a beginning, there must be an end. We had a beginning to the sermon and soon we'll have an end. Amen? Yeah. End. So you guys are a lot quicker on that one. Solomon said, a time to be born, a time to die. God defines time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Whereas know ye not what shall be on the morrow? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away.
Here's what we get out of this today. God created you and I for a purpose. Are you living out your purpose? With the Word of God, He created everything. With the Word of God, He sustains everything. Maybe it's time for us to listen to the Word of God and allow Him to create something new in our life. Maybe new hope, a new marriage, a new prayer life. Be like the young men said, a new heart, a new boldness, a new relationship. The Word of God has the power to do that, to create those things new. He created new forgiveness. God has set a time limit for our lives. And it's evident that we endured, we survived the beginning. The question is, are we ready for the end? How I'm living my life today, right now, this moment, is what I'm going to have to give an account to God for. Based on your prayer life and your Bible reading, and as Hunter reminded us today, our boldness, our willingness to stand for the Word and stand for Christ. And as Andrew reminded us, our surrender. How we're living our life right now, this moment. If I were to die right now, I'm going to have to give an account for that. Am I ready to? Or is there some things that need to change? I don't know what's going on in your life. But He does. I can't help change what's going on in your life. But He can. The question is, will we let Him? Am I living the purpose that God has created me to live? If not, why not? You say, I don't have any power. God has power. Am I saved? Am I surrendered? Am I serving? Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight.